Without any warning, the knife went in about 7 centimeters into my neck. I felt a sudden, terrific pain.
On a quiet Sunday afternoon in September 2017, Imam Dr. Nasser Kurdi had arrived at his mosque in Hale for prayers when suddenly he found himself the victim of a hate crime.
So I turned around and I came face to face with this young man. He was angry. I tell people that all I saw was his teeth. He was so angry. And he was remonstrating, and his arms were beside him. I didn't see the knife. And then I saw him moving towards me. I was terrified.
In a split second, he turned around and ran for his life. He leapt 4 steps towards the main entrance.
When I opened the door and entered, I saw 2 ladies standing there. The fact that they were there, in a split second, I went from absolutely terrified to absolutely, this man is not coming in. I grabbed a chair and ran out, thinking, if you're coming in, you're going to have to go past me. By the time I went out, he was gone.
This is just one instance of hate crime on our doorstep, and we'll hear more from Dr. Kurdi later and how he forgave his attacker. But what is hate crime? Well, it all stems from the tragic racist murder of Stephen Lawrence in 1993 and the failings of the police to convict his killers. This led to the Crime and Disorder Act 98 that recognised for the first time racially and religiously aggravated offences, these being more serious and requiring special legislation. Then other protected categories were added: sexual orientation, disability, and transgender. They all became known as hate crimes. But why are hate crimes more serious than ordinary crimes? Surely a crime against a non-minority person is just as bad as a crime against a protected minority, you might say. But that doesn't take into account the wider effects on the community. Jenny Taylor is Manchester City Council's lead on hate crime.
Hate crime is quite unique. You can't change your identity. I am of mixed heritage. I was born with this colour of skin. I can't change it. There's nothing I can do about that. And when somebody is targeted because of what they look like or who they love, things that they can't change about themselves, then that doesn't just affect that one person. It affects an entire community and it can put fear into that community.
To combat the fear and terror that comes from hate crime, there are a number of cross-community initiatives within Withenshaw to build bridges.
The key thing is providing an opportunity to come together and to share stories.
Jerry Flanagan is the Community Centre Coordinator at St Aidan's Catholic Church, and with Caritas, the Diocese of Shrewsbury's social action arm, he has set up the Building Bridges Project, working across faiths.
It's just wonderful, actually. You know, I remember going to Cheadle Mosque and the wonderful welcome and the food. And then the stories, our struggles are very similar. There's people that came to the mosque for the first time. And I always thought the young lad who was in his 30s when he came away going, they were nothing like I thought they were going to be. They were so welcoming and warm. That meant a lot to me because this has helped try to challenge misconceptions. And I think what Building Bridges is trying to do is to bring those people together.
A member of our Jewish community who wanted to remain anonymous has told me how they've been entertaining school groups at the synagogue.
At the end of the visit, they always have a challah bread, which is Jewish bread that we have on Shabbat, on Friday night, and they experience what we do on a Friday night in a very small level. But often children will come up and say how much they've loved it and that they would like to be Jewish.
Hate crime is reducing in some areas, thanks in part to cross-community projects such as these. However, hate crime is on the increase in other areas, particularly Islamophobia and antisemitism. And a rise in violent hate crimes is making people cautious about initiatives such as the school visits to learn more about the Jewish faith and culture.
Each time there has been an event over the last couple of years of attacks on Jews, most recently, there was one on Yom Kippur where a rabbi in Manchester congregant was killed, actually. And it was an anti-Semitic attack, one man. But obviously then people have a fear of sending the children, letting the children go into a synagogue. And we do always have to have, you know, support outside to ensure that it's a safe place to be.
So schools and local authorities have actually cancelled visits?
Yes, unfortunately.
Community radio was set up at the beginning of the century, in part to bring communities together and improve social cohesion. The media generally has a less positive reputation when it comes to hate crime. Dr. Curdy again.
If all they're reading is about bad apples, you know, the survey about, you know, if you're a Muslim, are you part of this society? Are you part of this country? It doesn't take too long for people to think, you know something, we don't like these Muslims. Not because they've actually met them or experienced them. It's just because they've read about them. And if I'm reading about Muslims from the media and I'm getting my impressions about me from the media, I'd think I'd hate myself.
And it isn't just the old media of newspapers, radio and television that are contributing to rise in hate crime, but social media as well. Joey Flanagan again.
I do think social media has got a lot of influence in shaping what people think of other communities. And I think that's making it more difficult for us to build bridges and connections with people that come from different cultures or a different faith. And I think people are made to fear that. And yet when we actually come to that human connection with people and we share our stories, our struggles, our hopes, we realise that there's a lot more to unite.
Jerry also told me that some of the contributing factors that lead people towards hate crime are things like reduced living standards, the cost of living crisis, and poverty.
Some of that frustration of poverty and how it's pulling you apart. Sometimes you can look over the water and you can look at the hotels. I know the reality of what's happening in the asylum hotel. It's not a five-star hotel. You're not getting five-star food, but that is an easy thing when you can't put food on the table for your children. One of my concerns is that a lot of people are playing on that and want to whip it up, and I find that really sad.
We started by hearing how Dr. Nasser Curdy was attacked outside his mosque. He has since gone on to build cross-community projects, particularly between the Muslim and Jewish faiths, and was awarded the MBE in the New Year's Honours. This work started after he found forgiveness for his attacker.
How would people react when they're attacked or when they were sort of bullied or what have you? And I always said you can either respond by shying away and relinquishing responsibility, or by being angry and being irresponsible. And I said, but there's a third way, which is to forgive.
Right.
And that means you take back responsibility.
Yeah. We don't think of that third way, do we?
No, we don't, because instinctively we don't. I think it's one or the other.
A big problem for victims of hate crime is having the courage to actually report it. Well, the good news is there are anonymous ways you can do this, including where you can speak to a third party who isn't the police and will take up your case. Jenny Taylor's back with some details.
So in Manchester, we have a range of centres, third-party reporting centres, and we also have Stop Hate UK, that is also a third-party reporting mechanism. And we have CST, Community Security Trust for the Jewish community, and you've got British Muslim Trust as well. So there's lots of different ways to report, and what these are safe spaces that are not directly to the police, and you can report the incident to them and they can report on your behalf or certainly signpost you to other agencies if you need additional support.